Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mully and Hall. Mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score. 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
If Mitch is out this week, and I apologize for not knowing his name, because I did the Bears' last preseason game, and the guy played really good.
Tyler Bray.
Okay, he's a practice squad guy, yes. Right? Okay, I would play him. I truly would. I mean, I would not waste a game or two with Chase Daniel. I wouldn't. I would play this young kid and see if he can do anything, because he played good in the preseason, in my opinion.
Always fun, always entertaining, always informative talking to Coach Wannstedt. And that's interesting because, again, I guess we are now in the development phase of the season. Is that it? That the things have gone air-shaped?
Well, let's look at that for a second, because here we are 10 games in, and the Bears are 4-6. And I think that we did not term Sunday night as an elimination game, right? Didn't we go into that game calling it that last week? And what did the Bears do? They lost. So I think the Bears were, by virtue of our definition, eliminated from playoff consideration.
But they weren't technically. I mean, listen, I agree with what you're saying, because here's the problem. There are going to be teams that are 10-6 ahead of them. But they still have a chance to get 10-6. Usually you can get in. We've seen examples of people being fired after 10-win seasons. Dave down in Miami, certainly Lovey here in Chicago. There are more examples of it. I don't expect anyone to be fired. I'm just saying that you have examples of 10-win seasons where people don't get in.
Do you make decisions as an NFL executive
based on a hope and a prayer? Well, I don't think you make decisions until you're absolutely eliminated. I think that while, you know, where there is life, there is hope, and there is still, you are technically not eliminated. If you lose this week, then I'd start thinking about it as if you were a team that's eliminated.
I think you got to be pragmatic, though, and I would look at it this way.
It's now development?
Well, I think that you can try to accomplish both, but I don't think that you want to wait any further to find out something about your roster that you might not know. So let's be specific here. I'm not talking about Tyler Bray for Mitch Trubisky necessarily.
Right.
I think that if Mitch Trubisky is healthy, you play him, and you find out as much as you can over the final six games what you have. What I'm talking about is, okay, your offensive line stinks, so maybe you can make a move of Alex Barrs. You lead the league in drops, so I'm very curious if Riley Ridley can catch the ball and get in the right wide receiving rotation. We've got Brad Biggs, who covers the league for a long time today, and here we are on November 20th, stumping today for a Princeton wide receiver converted to a tight end, a guy, Jesper Horsted, to get more playing time.
They brought him up.
That's where the Bears are. And that's where I think they need to be, because you need to find out who has talent and if the new influx of talent can change the dynamic in a locker room that really needs to change the dynamic on the field and off.
Okay, I find it interesting that you're saying it that way. Let me just say this. If I'm looking at the offensive line, I'm looking at the big picture then. I'm no longer worried about whether Mitch wants to have whom at center and personal catcher and all that stuff. I think going forward, you're a better team if James Daniel can work out and be the center. If James Daniels can be the center and if Cody Whitehair can be the guard, I might move that back. If I feel I'm eliminated, I might move that back. I'm a little confused by all the Alex Barrs love. I get it. Offensive line coach Harry Hiestand was his coach at Notre Dame, and that's why he came here.
Mm-hmm.
But he came here as an undrafted free agent. He did not come here. He played at Notre Dame.
That was health related,
but
though.
Whatever it was,
yeah.
I don't know why everyone. I mean, what's wrong with trying to develop the guy that's playing there right now? He's another young player that you moved from one side of the ball to the other. You wrote about him,
Rashad Coward.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, where are you moving Alex Barrs in? That you're so desperate to get him
on the
field.
I'm not sure, but you haven't seen him on the field yet. Maybe it's a rotation. Maybe it's Maybe it's a tackle.
But the only reason he's even on the roster, off the practice squad, is that you put Kyle Long on the injured list.
Yes,
right?
That is so true.
I guess what I'm saying is, if you lose this week and you feel like there's no shot at the playoffs, that's when you put Danny Trevathan on the injured list, if indeed he is bad enough that he won't come back. That's when you stop worrying about Akeem Hicks and when he can come back. And that's when you start, I guess, experimenting with different things. But I would not mess with the offensive line. I would try to get the guys that are starters better. And if I thought moving forward that James Daniels' future needs to be at center rather than guard, I'd move him back. I suspect they'll move him back next year.
It's a defensible position, but I think it's overly optimistic, in my opinion, only because your offense has not shown you that they deserve the benefit of the doubt 10 games into this season, because your offensive line, as I pointed out yesterday, to me, has been every bit as disappointing as your quarterback. And your tackles, who you paid, have not performed. And your guards have had injury issues, and you've mixed them around, so you've contributed to that perhaps, but they haven't either. And your center, you know, you went from James Daniels getting rolled to Cody Whitehair and his unpredictable snaps, and I don't think that you have anything about the offensive line that you feel good about. So I guess in that context, that's where it's not necessarily love for Alex Barrs as much as it is you have a young lineman on your roster that you really haven't evaluated yet in game action, so maybe you get an opportunity to do that. He's one guy. Riley Ridley, I think, is another guy.
That's a fair one.
And I just don't know that you're in a position where you put your slim, minuscule, small percentage points chance of getting into the playoffs ahead of this reality that you got to come right back in 2020 in the NFL. You can go, as we know, worst to first and first to worst quickly. So why not try to do everything you can to make your roster as good as it could be?
And that's all fine and well. I really honestly believe, though, as much as you laugh at and snort at the minuscule chances, I think you have to be honest and forthright with the way you approach it while still believing that every year is sacred, every opportunity is sacred, and you got to try to pursue it, try to find a way. You're still looking at life through that straw, and that, not because you suck with a straw. You're looking at it, because someone said that to me yesterday, you're looking at it with the most short-term goals humanly possible. And so what you want now, David, if you lose these next couple games, and we're talking about what you do with the last four games of the season, I'm on board with all of that. But I think that you owe it to the people showing up at Soldier Field on Sunday. You owe it to the guys whose careers are not going to be lasting longer than another 5-10 years. You know, every season is sacred. You have to exhaust all opportunity, even if it is just a pipe dream, and even if 10-6 doesn't get it done, and even if you need help from other teams to beat the guys ahead of you or those teams to lose, you can't give up on it yet. I really don't think you can.
Fair enough. Did I snort? Did I snort at that possibility?
Well, I mean,
I don't think it was a snort. It might have been a chuckle.
It's a chortle.
A chortle?
You chortled at
okay,
that
but okay, devil's advocate one more time before we get to the phone calls, because these are good calls.
Yeah.
Look, I think they felt similarly I don't know if this is a good comparison or not, but like you look around the league and you see examples of teams that introduced new guys, untested guys, unproven guys, maybe because they had to, but also maybe because they thought, well, what do we have to lose at this point? I think look at the quarterback position. You see it all over the league.
Sure.
Guys who get opportunities, and I'm not saying Tyler Bray is going to be Kyle Allen or Gardner Minshew or anything like that, and I don't even want to see Tyler Bray, but in that context, right, sometimes you see guys, you discover guys who are just being held back because of numbers games, or they haven't gotten the opportunity. Maybe they're better when the bright lights are on, and if you're as desperate as I feel like the Bears must feel as they get back to practice today, that an influx of different mix, new talent, a different sort of combination at receiver or the offensive line, especially the offense that is underperformed, I think I'd gamble a little bit that I would keep those hopes alive, those minuscule hopes alive, while trying to find out from a football perspective,
sure,
if these guys that we thought were worth signing can actually play.
312-644-6767. We'll start with Roman. He's listening on radio.com. Good morning, Roman.
Good morning, boys. Looking ahead to next year, the first position I would start with, not to mention there's going to be way too many underrated free agents available besides the quarterback, but the first position that I would start with would definitely be tight end. We have Hunter Henry coming out of San Diego, and then we have Vance McDonald coming out of Pittsburgh. Sign him right away, whoever you want to. Now, going back to the San Diego Chargers, we also have Melvin Gordon over there. Bring him over here. The problem that we are going to have is the Chargers are looking for the same exact thing. They're looking for a quarterback, and also they're looking for a running back and tight end. Now, you sign Melvin Gordon over here, bring him in as a running back. You sign a tight end, Vance McDonald or Hunter Henry. Guess what? Second-round pick, draft a center. We have Cam Newton. Cam Newton doesn't work out, bring in a decent quarterback so that he can work with the number two round pick center and train that center the way the quarterback wants to play. Go ahead, the rest of the draft, get another quarterback, get another tight end, and bring in more O-line. That's all I got to say, boys.
Thanks, Roman.
Thanks, Roman. You thought it out. And yeah. you look at the priority list for free agency. I still didn't hear him say left or right tackle. I think an offensive tackle has got to be something that is at the top of your list. I understand the need for a tight end, but as we have seen this year, your passing game's not going to matter if you can't protect the quarterback or run the football with your offensive line.
Let's try John. He's in the western suburbs. Good morning, John.
Hey, John.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Good.
You know, you got the Giants, you got the Lions, and then you've got Murderers Row the rest of the way. Dallas, the Packers, the Chiefs, and the Vikings. If they could get away with beating Dallas, that's gonna take everything they've got. I don't see them beating Kansas City, Green Bay, or Minnesota. I really don't. I think this team could go 7-9, but more than likely this year 6-10.
Ouch.
Yeah, I'm looking at it realistically. I mean, we've got a lot of problems. Offensive line, quarterback, no running game to speak of, no tight ends. You know, the guys in the middle of our defense are out. Teams are running on us. I mean, and the defense is just, I don't think this offense is going to click quickly enough to give our defense any kind of decent break. They're just going to get run into the ground.
All right. Thanks, John. Appreciate that. 312-644-6767. And I'm not asking anyone to give us an off-season plan quite yet, but I would like to know how you want to handle the last six games of this season, how you want to handle the final quarter of the season, and will it depend on what happens in the next couple of
games?
And
you're responding to the idea that Dave – Wanstead introduced yesterday was, and I thought it was funny, and I did chuckle when he said it's like, if the season mattered, I'd cut my kicker.
Well, that's shocking.
If you're 8-2, that you might be more likely to.
You got a young guy,
make a move. That
you already lost the draft pick, right? That's long gone. So you may as well see what he can do the rest of the year. I mean,
that's not treating every season as being sacred. That is treating the next six games as an audition for 2020 for your kicker.
312-644-6767. It's Mully and Hall on the Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you
you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Yeah, I think there's something to it. I think, you know, these are the same players that we played with at that level last year, as you pointed out. And look, we're fortunate. We got 8 games left to get this thing back on track. And, you know, I know Matt and his staff are the right leaders. And, you know, Matt became our head coach for moments like this. His leadership shines in moments like this. I think his attitude's infectious. It infects the whole team. And, you know, I really appreciate the way Matt's handled these times. These tough times is when people really show themselves. And I think Matt's doing a good job.
Okay.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. That is Ryan Pace from the only time we hear from Ryan Pace, the pregame with Jeff Joniak. And that was last week talking about, sounding a lot like the late Cardinal Joseph Bernardine, and talking about how Matt is the guy for this moment.
Bless you.
A moment like this, Matt's waited a lifetime.
Oh,
a moment like this, Matt steps on his...
Why?
Speaking of being kind of off-key, you know, I think that it's nice to hear...
Speaking of off-key, let me see.
I think it's nice when leaders acknowledge and accept responsibility for mistakes that they make. And I think accountability, that's all part of it. I just wish that Matt Nagy, who acknowledged the fact that third and one call might not have been the best call, I just wish he'd make fewer mistakes than we've seen. And I would, you know, you don't hire coaches necessarily for moments like this. You actually hire coaches to avoid moments like this.
Oh.
And I think that's all part of this whole mentality sometimes is that
We need someone who can be in the bunker with us.
You didn't plan on being 4-6.
No.
You hire a coach that's going to keep you out of these dips that when you get to the playoffs, you stay there. And you don't go 1 year in, 1 year out. Everybody in, everybody out.
Put your quarterback in. You take your quarterback out. You draft another guy wrong, and you shake your...
Yeah, something like that.
Awful, awful,
so a lot of
awful.
People want to weigh in, but I think that is the issue here, is that how do you sustain success? And if getting back to the playoffs, where I don't think the Bears are going to end up this year, not exactly out on a limb, do the final 6 games give you an opportunity to make your roster better for 2020 by seeing more of what you have at the bottom of it?
So if you hired him for a moment like that and you got what you got, does that change in the new? You know, when you say something like that and you lose, so what now, Ryan?
That was before the loss.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So you were anticipating losing. That's what I took from that.
Yeah.
No, to deal with rocky waters. No, I thought we hired that guy
to avoid them, a
20th century, 21st century type offense in Chicago.
Hold on. I'm all for the criticism of the general manager, okay? That's part of what we do.
I'm
but,
just talking about what he said
but
there.
But hold on. But what he said there was before the they went to 4-6. Things weren't exactly rosy when they were 4-5, Dustin. I mean, he's talking about the adversity they had already faced, some of it which they created for themselves.
If we need to, let's play it again. We hired him for moments like these, so you anticipated a losing season. You hired
No. You anticipate rocky times, Dustin.
No.
You anticipate moments of adversity.
No.
That's what he's saying. No. But unfortunately, I don't think he anticipated 4-6. I don't think he anticipated they'd be this bad this year.
I don't think anybody did. I really don't think anybody thought they
Vegas
would be.
Vegas seemed on the number a lot more
Vegas
than anybody
seemed
else.
Skeptical, but Molly, you look at their ineptitude on offense, and it's just stunning. I mean, we said during the break, there's only one team in the NFL offensively that has more 3-and-outs than the Bears, and that's the Jets. The Jets, they're terrible. And the Bears' offense?
God, that's unbelievable.
They're terrible. I mean, the Bears have a terrible offense.
They have a terrible offense.
And they have an offensive-minded head coach.
Well, they have a head coach who's actually an offensive coordinator. Let's be honest about it. I mean, if we're going to talk about it, we should talk about it. You know, again, I'm not telling you the Lions are doing anything good, but it was fascinating to hear that guy talk about both his defense and he's from the Belichick school. Now, only Belichick can actually pull it off. But what Belichick does is he designs his defense for whatever the team he's going against does best, and mm-hmm. he takes away whatever they do best, and then he does an individual game plan every week. He doesn't run a scheme. He runs whatever he has to run to stop whatever he has to stop.
Novel concept.
I mean, it's not what Matt Nagy does. He's the play caller. Molly, he's looking for the play where you can score on every single play.
And you've been around the NFL for a long time. I've watched a lot of NFL teams too. And after seasons like this, what typically happens? They fire the offensive coordinator. They fire the offensive coordinator. Yeah,
they're like the hitting coach.
It's been a season and a half now of futility offensively. The first eight games under Matt Nagy, those were the halcyon days. But I don't think that you can look at it now and say that they don't need that kind of change. I don't think anything in the next 6 weeks is going to change that conclusion. So you better be prepared to look. You talk about introspection. It's going to take some real deep introspection after the season's over.
312-644-6767. Let's get to the phone lines. Bear fan Bob is on the road. Hey, Bob.
Hey, good morning. Long time, no talk. And happy holidays to the both of you.
Thank you, Rob. To yourself, too.
My thoughts are, you know, if this team wants to get good, you need a center. Rather that would be now or later, I don't care. The problem is we're not playing good basic football. Smash mouth old style football. You clean up that offensive line, because everything does start with the offensive line, things get better very, very quickly. You know, I don't understand where any quarterback back there has to do snap aerobics because he's trying to get the snap, you know, wherever it is, you know, you see him, he's jumping up and down here, there, and everywhere else. Or he's running for his life most of the time. I don't get it. I don't understand how a play is ever going to develop when all this is going on. You can't expect any quarterback to perform correctly. You know, so why don't we work on getting a center and not Daniels and not Whitehair? I'm done with that movie. I go to these games and I watch this. It's horrible.
All right, Bob, thank you. I think Whitehair is their best offensive lineman, and I think if you really look at James Daniels, he's better. He's a better center than he is a guard, and that's why they moved him there. And they he's a center. He's a young guy, and they need him to play center, not guard.
And you're suggesting that they stop making decisions about their offense based around how it fits Mr. Trubisky.
Well, they
but
didn't
to that point though, right?
But the point is this, Dustin. They haven't made a single move
this week.
Listen to me. They haven't done anything because of Mitch Trubisky. They want Mitch Trubisky to run their plays and they do all this. They haven't made any attempt to run an offense for him, but apparently he gets to pick the center. And I don't think that's a good idea.
Gang, let me tell you, the center's not the number one problem in that offensive line.
No. Tim's on the road. Good morning, Tim.
I'd just like to chime in about your argument about the game being sacred. Doug Buffone played 14 years in the NFL, played one playoff game. In the Armed Forces game every August, no questions asked. And I don't understand what's going on with the game. So that's all I wanted to say. If you look at Doug Buffone's career, he also played on the team that was 1-13 in 1969. Have a great day.
Yep. Thanks, Tim.
Okay. I love Doug.
Yeah. I worked with Doug. I think Doug was shared great. An office with Doug. I learned a ton from Doug. I miss Doug every day. Think about him all the time.
Nobody's saying forfeit the final six games.
This is the idea. You play everything. You try. The minute you're out of it, the minute you no longer can do it, then you figure out how can we take this train wreck of a season and devote it to getting ahead next year and figuring out who we have and who we don't have and what we can do. And then you have to evaluate, well, okay, this guy did well, but it was at the end of the year and we were already out of it and we didn't. So you take it all into account. But you better come out of this, if nothing else, you better come out of it with answers.
You're not risking a lot by going to players who you haven't used to try to figure out what you have and also maybe try to create a spark. I mean, this is a team that has no identity. 10 games into this season and maybe going to, you know, a different offensive line again, maybe trying some new players that you haven't seen, maybe that helps create one. I'm not sure. Nobody's saying forfeit, but I do think you owe it to yourself to find out.
I asked you about Alex Byers and all the Alex Byers love. We had a texter check in and said, New England tried to sign him off the Bears practice squad. Play the guy. And that's a good idea.
Well, he stayed because he thought he could, you know, have an easier route to playing time. I mean, if he was in New England, he also liked the coach.
If he was in New England, he'd be used up and run out.
Sure. And by the way, we cannot forfeit any of these Bears games for the rest of the season. You have to play every single one of them, especially on Sunday, because you can join me and Miller Lite at Miller's Ale House in Lombard for a 1960s-themed Bears viewing party. Stop in from 11:30 to 2:30 to meet me, win prizes, and watch the Bears game. Cheers to 100 years with Miller Lite.
I forgot. I did for a moment that it's all about Kevlar.
I did forget that.
You might even see me show up and put Kevin in a headlock.
Okay. Now we got something.
That's content.
Now I might go out there.
That's right in my backyard.
A couple of beverages in this guy. Really, he'll get up on a table and start to show me offensive line play like you guys were in Vegas.
I think it's two drinks before he turns into a center.
Speaking of tough guys, Dan Pompey next.
Dan Pompey with Mully and Haw on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Dan Pompey joins us on the El Pamonte Ford Hotline. El Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park. His name is writ in the Hall of Fame. Good morning, Dan. How are you, sir?
Morning, Dan.
Good morning, fellas. Good morning. Good to be with you.
Well, you know, we're talking about the Bears and where they're at, and I still contend that with the possibility of going 10-6, as ridiculous and outrageous as it may be, you can't give up yet. You can't start worrying about player development, and you got to win a damn football game, and you got to keep doing that until the bitter end. You got to just keep going at it and keep trying to get better and keep trying to improve, and you can't, if you where there is life, there is hope, and you can't give up hope.
No, I think that's the whole purpose and function of any sports team, is to try to win, you know, and if you're not doing that, you're not being true to yourself and you really have no purpose. So I think, they have to keep, you know, doing everything they can. I mean, even look at Miami Dolphins, a team that from the very start of the season knew it was going nowhere. I mean, they're still in there swinging and trying to win every week they can, even to their probably long-term detriment, because they look like they're going to cost themselves the first pick in the draft. But I think, you know, it makes sense to keep an eye on the future with the Bears, but still try to win these games. You know, and really, when you talk about player development, you know, there's a way to kind of serve both masters, too,
yes,
because whatever they've been doing with the veterans who've been playing has not been good enough, right?
Mm-hmm.
So at some point, you have to ask, might they be better off with one of these young guys playing? And they don't have a lot of young guys they could put in there, really. I mean, unless they start churning the roster. But, you know, you're talking about Riley Ridley, Alex Byers, maybe Duke Shelley. You know, giving some of those guys a little bit of playing time. And I think, you know, maybe not this week, or but in the near future, you have to start thinking about those things and just seeing what you have, evaluating things for the long term, and, you know, finding out if maybe some of these guys are better than some of the guys who are playing.
This might be the perfect week with the Giants coming in 2-8. Dan, when you watched Sunday night and you saw the way that the last 3.5 minutes went down with Chase Daniel replacing Trubisky, you know, I think that it's become a big deal. And I think it became a bigger deal because Matt Nagy chose that moment to give Mitch this extended hug and explanation, whereas if he was just subbing him for injury purposes, everybody would understand that and maybe accept it a little bit easier had they just made this straight switch and explained it later. How did you interpret what happened, and what do you think happens now?
Well, you know, I think he clearly was injured. You know, if you go back and look at the hit that injured him and then how he was kind of moving a little bit afterwards, was he injured to a point where he had to be pulled from the game? Probably not. Was there a purpose of him remaining in the game? Probably not. You know, I really just, I didn't think it was that big a deal. You know, I think that the game was kind of out of control at that point, and I didn't think the Bears had the firepower to come back and win it, no matter who was at quarterback. And I do believe that they are committed to Trubisky, certainly for this week, and I think probably for most of the rest of the season, too. And I think that's what makes sense. And I really believe that evaluating Trubisky the rest of the way is one of the most important things that the Bears could do for the rest of the season, and I'm sure they feel the same way. I'd be shocked if they felt differently.
It's fascinating, Dan, because we talked to Dave Wannstedt yesterday, and we talked about the kicker and, you know, the idea that Jimmy Johnson walked on the field and told Kerwin Richard, you know, goodbye, son, you know, take a flight home. You're not on the charter, because he fumbled twice while they were en route to a Super Bowl victory. It was the first one of a whole group of them. And I think he was saying that because the Bears season has effectively gone down the tubes, you stick with Eddie Pinera because, you know, you're not going to the playoffs, so you want to see what you have, and maybe he's a young guy you can develop. But if you were going to the playoffs, you would get rid of him, and you go out and get a guy that you knew could hit from between, you know, 45 yards and in or something. I just found that so amusing that's kind of the league. If you're out of it, you got to develop. If you're really in it, you got to launch this guy.
It's funny. You know, I guess to me, you know, I would look at the kicking situation as what kind of message are you sending your team, you know, because you've got a guy there who has not played up to the standards that you want him to play up to. But you're saying it's okay. You know, we're going to stick with him. We're going to change our strategy because of him. And we're going to see what happens. Now, I don't know if they could find somebody better than him on the street. I don't know if there's somebody out there. It's been a rough year for kickers. And, you know, a lot of them have been injured, which means the depth of the guys on the street is not what it should be. And then, you know, a lot of guys who are in the league have struggled. I think I read that it's one of the worst years for field goal percentage in quite a time in the league overall. So, I don't know if you could find better than Eddie Pinero at this point, but the bottom line is, you know, you need to start looking at that position carefully for the long term. And if I were running the team, I would say I want a better short term solution if I can find one. And I'd be bringing in guys for workouts.
Dan, if somebody outside Chicago asks you this week, what kind of job has Matt Nagy done as a head coach this year? How would you evaluate him? What would you say?
Well, I think it's been disappointing. You know, I think he set a really high bar last year with a wonderful rookie year performance as a head coach, obviously. And, you know, a lot of what he's tried this year has not worked. A lot, I think, has been out of his control. You know, I think the quarterback obviously has not stepped up. I don't know if you want to blame Nagy for that. I don't think you should. I think it's mostly on the quarterback. And, you know, there have been a lot of reverberations from that have really been a difficulty. I don't know that, you know, we've talked about this before. Everybody else on offense, just about with the exception of maybe Allen Robinson, maybe Cody Whitehair, has not performed up to the same level that they did a year ago. You know, I think that puts a coach in a tough situation. I don't know that he's responded particularly well with how he's game planned and play called in every situation. But it's been a rough year for Matt Nagy, no question.
It's been a rough year for the NFL. I mean, when you really break it down, you look at the AFC and you say, boy, isn't it something the way Baltimore's playing and they've really turned it around. But that's maybe the only team that you believe can go into New England, as much as they've struggled, and beat them in Foxborough in a playoff game. I mean, you know, you look at the rest of it. I know that New England's offense isn't doing great, Dan, but if they have home field yet again, that's a team that's the toughest out that there is in the playoffs.
Well, you'd say that right now anyway, but, you know, there's a lot of season left. A lot of things can change between now and January. And a lot of things will change. They change every year. So, you know, that's the one thing you can count on is things won't stay the same. But, you know, I think there are other teams that could rise up in the AFC. You know, certainly the Chiefs are one of them. You know, Patrick Mahomes gets on a hot streak and everybody gets healthy there and they start rolling. I mean, you know, that's a team that you'd certainly have to be wary of. And I think, you know, as good as New England has been, I think, you know, there are some cracks there that maybe teams can exploit as time goes on. It's going to be interesting to see. You know, the offense is not what we've been accustomed to in New England. And you know, you have to wonder if it's going to be good enough against a really explosive offense when you get into January football. And the one thing you know, though, is that Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels are going to adjust and change and do what they have to do to remain in games. It's going to be – I'm really looking forward to the last couple months here.
Dan, also looking at the league, today Myles Garrett makes his appeal to the suspension based on the incident last week, the ugly one against the Steelers and Mason Rudolph. You spent some time this summer with Myles Garrett and wrote a terrific story in The Athletic, and I think that it was really one of those things that maybe give you a different perspective. How did your experience with him inform your opinion of what happened last week?
Well, you know, having gotten to know him, I obviously had a little bit different perspective. You know, I didn't think of him as this wild man thug who had no self-control and was kind of crazy, which, you know, you might think just by watching the clip if you didn't know him. You know, I understood that he's a thoughtful young man and a sensitive young guy who also, you know, kind of when he gets on the field, he flips a switch. And I think that's probably pretty common with a lot of players. I think it's kind of how you have to be. You have to flip that switch and go someplace else when you're playing football. And, you know, he just obviously lost control and took it too far. And, you know, he told me an interesting story that I actually wrote about in that feature that you mentioned, that he was once in a practice in college. And, you know, he kind of feels like a lot of times people like to challenge him because of who he is. You know, he was the first pick in the draft, and he's got this incredible physique and, you know, incredible ability. So people kind of can make their names by trying to challenge him. But anyway, in practice one day, there was an offensive lineman who got mad at him after a play and came at him and started, you know, swinging and wanted to fight. And Myles Garrett just kind of held his big arm out and held the guy off just with that one arm. You know, he's so strong. He's got such long arms that he was able to do that. Until people kind of came in and were able to stop them from fighting. And, you know, that was the right response, and it was something that he was proud of. Obviously, what happened against the Steelers with Mason Rudolph was the wrong response, and it was a matter of losing self-control, and now he's going to have to pay the price for it.
Dan, we'll let you go. What's your take on Kaepernick? I guess one of his agents came out and said that one of his attorneys that there are two teams interested. That's two more than we expected. Was that a fiasco? What did you make of the whole thing?
Well, I guess I don't understand why teams would be interested now if they weren't before.
Right.
And you know, if anybody wanted to see what Kaepernick could do, they could have had him in for a workout many, many times over a three-year period, and they chose not to. And I think one of the reasons they chose not to was kind of how Kaepernick handled this whole thing. I know he turned a lot of people off. And, you know, the thing that football people wonder is, you know, does he really love the game? Does he really want to play the game, or does he love the platform? And, you know, does he love the attention and the ability to speak his mind and get his point across? And that's something that a lot of teams aren't really willing to deal with in a backup player who, you know, is going to create some waves around your team without a doubt if you bring him in.
Dan, thank you so much. You're the best. Appreciate
good stuff,
it, buddy.
Dan. Thanks a lot.
Okay, guys. Thank you.
That is our guy, Dan Pompey, Hall of Fame NFL
He's right
writer.
About the perception around the league. People are concerned when it comes to Kaepernick, whether or not you're getting, you know, the performer, the guy off the field is going to become a big distraction. And I think what the difference was, and it did turn out not to be the case, but the NFL sponsoring that workout gave cover for the teams if they were interested. That's what was different between Saturday, in theory, and the last 3 years. The end result wasn't any different because he changed the venue and he kind of found a reason not to work out. If you want a job that badly, you're willing to concede almost anything to kind of get in front of the people you need to convince.
I got to tell you, the text line, I know that it's sometimes filled with people that want to take a different tact on something or want to take a personal attack.
It's a wasteland. Let's call it what
it is. Well, no. Sometimes it's very interesting. But everybody seems, at least there's three or four people that think that Mason Rudolph was at fault in that.
I know.
Guys.
There's more than three or four people.
His head was Myles Garrett tore the helmet off his head and hit him over the head with it. His helmetless head. He hit him on top of it. You can't – I mean, if there's anything going on in the scrum, it doesn't allow you – if you're at a bar fight, some guy shoves a guy, you can't pull out a gun and shoot him, okay? It's just not an acceptable response. Assault is not an acceptable response to whatever may have occurred, whatever may have been said back and forth. You can't rip a guy's helmet off and beat him over the head with a effectively a 6-pound
blunt object. What Mason Rudolph did wasn't the way you want to react, but it did not justify
irrelevant.
The response at all.
It's crazy.
Come on, people.
Smalley and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.